Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. People are getting very, very worried about what is going on in Brazil. It is outside of the realm of our understanding how much Brazil has seemingly changed dramatically since the last election. And that country seems to be in a lot of danger. And I am so excited. I have a woman from Brazil that is fighting on the front lines as not just for Brazil, but for all people and for freedom everywhere. And I'm excited to welcome Anna Schiffert to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you for the opportunity for being here and bringing awareness what's happening in Brazil right now.
So first and foremost, tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you are working on right now in this battle for, I mean, literally freedom.
Right. So just some quick introduction. So I am a Brazilian and I'm also an American. I'm an attorney licensed in both countries. And I do work with immigration affairs and also international law affairs. Right. And I've been helping. I wish it was just one case. But there are some cases that I've been helping of those that have been prosecuted, suffering political prosecuting from Brazil here in the United, and they had escaped here in the United States. Wow. And anything that related to border patrol, all this exchange, this is the type of work that I've been helping them with, dealing with the Department of Homeland Security overall.
Wow. So let me ask you a little bit about, you have a client and the story sounds very similar to the people close to Trump. People are watching and a lot of people are watching what's happening to Bolsonaro and Trump and see the parallels. But a lot of people in America do not know that people around Bolsonaro, just like Trump, have been persecuted and are being also imprisoned. And you're representing one of those people. So tell my audience a little bit about that case and some background there. I'm friendly with Peter Navarro. He's in jail right now. And many lawyers in America have been attacked just simply for questioning the election or working for Trump. So you have a similar situation to the people that were surrounding Bolsonaro in the freedom movement there as well.
That's correct. So the case that we're going to be talking today is Felipe Martins. And I also do want to mention Ricardo Fernandez and Sebastião Coelho, which are my colleagues. They're covering his defense under the Brazilian law. So I'm covering here in the United States, the part that relates to the American law. But who is Felipe Martins? Felipe Martins was the advisor of Bolsonaro. And he's currently being accused of planning what was supposed to be a coup. However, the activity that has been accused for is to conducting studies, writing documents, presenting reports, which are all activities that are usually an advisor would do. Right. There is no clear evidence on anything related to any coup whatsoever. And unfortunately, as of February 8th, he has been in prison. And why is that? His prison, which is precautionary detention, was determined based on the fact that, according to Alexandre de Moraes, his location was unknown. But he was detained in his home, in his address that was known to the courts. But what were the evidence that were being used? So there are two pieces of evidence that they used. One is a passenger list of a flight that left Brazil on December 30th to the United States, to Orlando, which was a presidential flight of Bolsonaro. And this passenger list, we had 15 versions of it. But his prison was determined based on version 10, which he left after. We have already presented the record in the records that he was not in the final passenger list of that flight, but they are accusing that they understand that he was, and so the prison is being determined as such. But you might be questioning, what's the problem? What's the problem of traveling? Because there's no records of that he left Brazil, and in fact he did not leave. Wow. So we already the evidence that he did not leave Brazil. And in fact, on December 31st, he boarded a flight in Brazil, a domestic flight from Brasilia to his home to Curitiba. Mm-hmm. And it would be virtually impossible for him to have boarded that flight should have him come here to the United States. Right. But what was it's a little bit intriguing, and that's when I come into place here, is because CBP website does show a travel history that shows Felipe's name on, and that he entered the U.S. on December 30th. But I want to explain the audience here that the travel history in the CBP website, there is a disclaimer there. They receive information from all variable sources. Right. And it's clear that this cannot be used from legal purposes. Oh, wow. Exactly because of that. So when we got the official records from the CBP, they confirmed that Felipe did not enter the United States on that flight. And he's still in jail and has been over 60 days.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable. It sounds very similar to me to Peter Navarro's position to Trump. And Peter Navarro, as you know, right now is also in jail. Also, somebody who was doing reports, writing reports, was loyal to Donald Trump, which is the biggest problem for the people that are persecuting him. Now, what was his position with Bolsonaro? And what is also, can you fill me in on what's happening with Bolsonaro right now?
So Bolsonaro, has been several attempts, as the documents shown, the documents that were released just yesterday, shown that has been having some attempts to censor his accounts as well, his social media accounts. He's currently being investigated under the supposed coup.
Right.
Fortunately, he has not been in jail. But we understand that's because of his massive support. It would be too traumatic. I'm not sure if you've been following right. The manifestations yes. in Brazil of millions of people on the streets. It would be yes. too traumatic. But if they could, I have no doubt that Bolsonaro would also be in jail. I mean, it's hard not to make the comparison, right? What's happening
with Trump? It's impossible. Because I frankly think it's the same people. They have a agenda for the world, and either you're going to be on that agenda, which I call Agenda 2030, but there's many different iterations of it, or you're not. And Bolsonaro also stood up during the COVID, and he was making his own moves. He was not going along with the narrative. And he also is looked at as Donald Trump as a populist president, which to these globalists, that's some kind of crime to actually put your country and your nation first, which is what he was doing. Now, your judicial system is really under the microscope, because there happens to be, it appears, one justice in Brazil that has some kind of authoritarian overriding power over everything and everyone else. And he's been highlighted a lot by Glenn Greenwald, who's an American journalist that also lives in Brazil, and many other people. Can you explain the judicial system there for the people in America who don't understand how it's possible that one person has this kind of power in your country?
So I need to clarify that it was not supposed to be like that. And a curiosity, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Brazil's first name was supposed to be the United States of Brazil. Wow. Brazil is very, the Brazilian independence, it's a lot of it has been inspired in the United States. Yeah. So the checks and balance system is not no different than that. It's supposed to work. But as I even have here a part of the documents that were released yesterday that I wanted to share.
Go ahead.
But it shows that chain that in 2019, so here in 2019, Brazil Supreme Court granted itself new powers to act as investigator, prosecutor, judge, all at once in some cases, rather than rely on prosecutor or law enforcement officer to open an investigation. Wow. And the president of Brazil Supreme Court, José Antônio Dias Toffoli, issued an order granting the Supreme Court itself this authority to open such investigation. So it was not designed to be like that, but it was slowly being corrupted to become like that. Brazilian Supreme Court, it's supposed to have a role similar to the, in the United States under the checks and balances, but they have been doing these maneuvers to gain more power. And and if you think about it, people tend to trust judges more than politicians.
Yeah.
So they took the judiciary as well as a way to make politics through it.
Right. Right. Now, a lot of people were watching the Brazilian election, and obviously you had a huge outpouring of people, very similar to January 6, even bigger in Brazil, that did not believe that that election was legitimate. But Lula now is running Brazil. And how has the country changed since he was put in power? Because I believe he was in prison, came out of prison, then ran for office, and they claim won. And what has happened to Brazil since?
We are seeing these continuous censorship attempts economy-wise. We were back to experience a decline. I'm not sure if there is any specific point you want us to point out.
I think that it's just people don't understand how fundamentally different it appears. Brazil is on a different trajectory than it was prior to him coming into office. And I think he's talked also a lot about aligning with the globalist agenda, because that was what Bolsonaro was against.
Well, let's start by mentioning about Lula's approach with China, right. Iran, Russia. We just recently experienced Iran attacking Israel. And if you saw the release from Brazil, the international affairs in Brazil, right. They did not condemn the attacks. We had that episode of Lula being considered a persona non grata by Israel because they compared Israel's self-defense actions to what the Nazis did. So I want to let everybody that's hearing us here to know that this is not the vision of Brazil. This is an unfortunate position of the government that does not reflect what Brazilians think and feel right. About all those situations. You did mention something here, and I think it's interesting for me to bring it. It's about COVID-19.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, because you mentioned about Bolsonaro and Trump on that. They are very, in fact, we call Bolsonaro the Trump of Brazil. Not sure if you knew that.
I do, yeah.
It's very similar. But that was an attempt to go after Bolsonaro. And it's similar to, it will be linked to Felipe's case to the sense that it was, in regards to that entry, that Bolsonaro did come to the U.S. on December 30th, Bolsonaro is known, and he already mentioned he never took a vaccine.
Right.
So because he came to U.S. in that year, they were claiming that Bolsonaro faked his COVID vaccination record, because otherwise, how would he come to U.S.? And this had been bought by the mainstream media, which was really, they released several document news about it,
right?
Saying Bolsonaro faked, and Bolsonaro was starting to be investigated by it. But there's a basic document from the White House where the same document that did require, yes, a visitor to present a vaccination record, that document made a clear exception for those that would come on a diplomatic visa, which
well,
was Bolsonaro's. So it becomes incredible how the maneuvers on the speech have been done, trying to incriminate and trying to get on hold of him, like finding that something. Yes,
right. It's like Trump. Yeah. It's like the Trump witch hunt they're doing to Bolsonaro too, and not just the two of them. Anyone that questioned or went against this globalist, you know, top-down narrative, and these men are all, you know, there's other people that are involved in this And they're putting their country first. They don't want to go by a globalist governance model, which is what is being pushed on everyone with the Great Reset, because Orban is another person, and there's multiple other people. But many people, you know, there's been a couple of assassinations, other jailings of people in these countries. This is how we know that there's a supranational push to silence and destroy any leader of any nation that is actually trying to be the voice of the actual people. Now, your client, what was his background? Because he was a top advisor to Bolsonaro during COVID as well. So, you know, this is another guy kind of similar to Peter Navarro that lived a exemplary life and was before this happened, was somebody that people looked to for information. He was an expert on many things, and now he's in prison. So what was his background?
Right. So Felipe Martins, he has been an active participant on the Bolsonaro's, and he follows a lot of Olavo de Carvalho. Not sure if you know that name. Are you familiar with Olavo de Carvalho?
Yeah, well, tell my audience, because they might not be, and I am vaguely, but you can tell them.
Yeah, so Olavo de Carvalho is a philosopher, which a lot of what we are seeing and hearing right now is in regard, he envisioned that he was a professor as well. And Felipe de Martins is someone that got an inspiration from Olavo. And he has been an active participant on the government of Jair Bolsonaro. It has been some talks about him going as a deputy on the Brazilian Congress, but this has not occurred as of today. I think that's a good coverage of Felipe. Right. He's an influential person in the political scenario, in the right-wing vision.
Now, what is going on with the people of Brazil right now? There's major, major censorship. There's a crackdown. They are threatening Elon Musk with being an international criminal organization. What is happening there on the level of for the people in terms of censorship or creeping? It looks like a totalitarian kind of big brother move there in Brazil. Are people talking about this on the ground?
Yes, everyone that understands what's going on, it's unbelievable how they are all in disbelief of what's happening, and especially because not sure if you had the opportunity to see those yesterday, but the Global, which is one of the mainstream media players in Brazil, just published today that the Supreme Court in Brazil is evaluating whether to suspend all the social media platforms.
Wow.
If they're evaluating whether that will be proportional to the fact that to the fact that they are non-compliant with a judicial order. But I want to share here with you, which is a sad truth, but Brazil, it's a country that it's poor, a poor country. I mean, it's very rich in so many resources and stuff, but it's a poor country in terms of education. So there's a parcel of the population that just don't know what's going on.
Right.
And it's sad. It's just, they don't know what's going on. And we also cannot discount the fact that there is some indoctrination on universities, schools, right, that prevents them to be fully aware of what's happening.
Yeah, I have a friend that comes on, and he's Brazilian, and he's reported a lot on that the United Nations, UNESCO, and all of the global initiatives have really infiltrated Brazil almost in the same trajectory as America, and that there's a lot of indoctrination in the school system there, and also that there's this Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development Goals is also all over Brazil as well, kind of convincing people that as they are here, that there's a future that is global, that, you know, you kind of have to give up the idea of nationalism. They're really going after nationalism in Brazil, and the Brazilian people are not following along with that. But talk a little bit about what has happened in terms of the indoctrination there and kind of the infiltration of this sustainable development agenda into every aspect of life there. Because I don't think people know that. And last time we had on the reporter from Brazil, he was talking a lot about how many of even your natural resources, a lot of the environmentalist stuff, that's really also causing a lot of problems in Brazil as well. I just want the American people to understand that there is a 100% overlap on what's happening in our country with our overreach of our government into oil and gas and energy and education and all that. Almost exactly the same thing is happening there. But, you know,
that's precisely it. So, for example, all the agro business, they're being pictured as the bad guys because of the environmental impact, not showing how this is so important economically and just the sustainability. I mean, how about the food? How about everything that they produce?
Right.
So it's and these concepts come from starting the schools, right? It's very... We can make a parallel. Like in Brazil, for you to be considered a very successful person a couple of years before, the best thing would be for you to graduate from a federal school. So everybody would study very hard to get to that federal school, which is no different than in the US. Everybody would study very hard to become go to a Harvard, to go to one of the top tier universities. But once they got there, then they would find that progressive agenda taking place on the whole study program that those students will take. And this has not started just yesterday. This has been starting since the 50th decade.
Exactly. Right.
So now you're just like seeing the results. And I mean, it's precisely, not sure if I answered your question. Did I answer your question?
You did answer my question. And I just want people to know it's Paul Saran, and he's a friend of mine. He's been on the show quite a bit. He's also Brazilian, and he's been talking quite a bit also about the Soros infiltration into Brazil and also your election system, how similar it is to what's happening here. So that's another thing. So after the last election, when people question the election, they kind of started the same narrative as here, that anyone that was questioning the election was an insurrectionist, an election denier. I mean, it's insane. And I'm sure it's National Endowment for Democracy and all the other infiltrators, Open Society. But almost the same thing that happened with the January 6th happened there. Were people also, have they been arrested and persecuted for questioning the last election at all? Because we don't hear about that.
Oh, yes. Not only that, but we are talking about 17 years in prison. This is the convictions that they are getting. And that same judge, Alexandre, is the one that's conducting all the procedure beginning to end. And it gets so scary because just last week I was watching, I was studying a little bit more about, about the whole Brazilian thing. And I saw this podcast. He was in a podcast talking about, I was excited to finalize all these cases soon.
That sounds like DC.
How about the independence of the judiciary on this, right? But we are talking about elderly people that have been convicted now for 17 years of prison. The cases are the number of cases. I don't have the specific number, but I can provide that to you if you want.
But there's a very similar thing that's happening with the January 6th insurrection that happened there, and it's not getting much news coverage, that people are being persecuted for questioning that election, which was as questionable, because what we saw in the streets was very similar to what we saw in DC, which was millions of people that wanted there to be a audit or an investigation, and they were largely peaceful. And they're being treated the same. People need to understand that the same model is being used in Brazil as well. I don't think that that's getting out there.
Right. And there has been had some destruction on the public sites that happened. And they wanted to be able to show that those people did not commit such destructions, that there were infiltrators on it. However, somehow the cameras of that day disappeared. So we are left all It's just sad. And there is one person also that I want to bring in here. His name is Clavio. He died in prison.
Oh, no.
One victim, and his attorney tried to get him to release due to his health conditions. And some it's a victim of this whole
this
thing.
Right. He was a January 6th, the same thing that's happening here happened to him as well. And, you know, what can people do? This one judge, I know that Paul was covering it today that, like you said before, so the Brazilian Supreme Court, main guy, he wants to regulate, like you said, all social media and is interrogating, I guess, the ex- or Twitter X employees in Brazil as if they're a criminal organization. So what can people do in Brazil? What is the recourse for the people? You have Lula, who seems to be fully in on the globalist agenda, and you have the Supreme Court guy that is out there kind of mocking the public and acting as if, you know, he's like the super above all the people and he doesn't really care what the people think or say. It seems very scary because it's much more condensed there. You have this one judge. I mean, it's as if John Roberts was out there telling America, I get to decide everything. And everything this guy is deciding seems to be totally on the other side of freedom.
So as Rui Barbosa, a famous Brazilian politician, diplomat, said, the worst type of dictatorship is the one from the judiciary because there is no resource to go. That's precisely it. Mel, I'm an optimistic person. I feel very, very happy in the sense that the international community is finding out about it.
Me
because
too.
We still have international treaties that can somehow pressure Brazil to make some changes, such as the letter Inter-American of Civil Rights,
right,
that could potentially be used to pressure changes in Brazil to be able to protect the democratic system. And that's what we as Brazilians, we are relying on at this time. About 2 years, 1 year ago, actually just a couple of months ago, we would research internationally media and would just good things about Lula, bad things about Bolsonaro being a tyrant. And so it was very hard to call attention to what was actually going on. And now we're finally getting there.
Yeah, I mean, there are some champions out there. Paul Sarin's one of them. Glenn Greenwald has been very, you know, he's living in Brazil, but he's got a huge following here and has really shined a light on it. But now that they're going after Elon Musk, a bigger light is being shined, thank God. But I'm very worried about the Brazilian people because it does appear that you have some sort of full-on dictatorship that is leaning towards totalitarianism, and it's very hard to get out of that. And the media is censored there now too. They want to shut down social media. So it's going to have to be a grassroots movement there as well. Do you see people getting together and as they are in America, slower than we'd like, but certainly in other countries all over the world that are dealing with the same thing. And I believe the same enemy, which is above our governments, a public-private partnership that is aligned with this global agenda. Are people in getting together? Are people organizing? Are they starting to find ways to fight back? Because certainly the rest of the world should be paying attention. Our media is completely corrupt to the core. It's all intelligence. It's all working for the public-private partnership. So they are bashing Bolsonaro, but luckily some good stuff is coming out. But it does seem that his life and your client's life are in danger as much as Trump or any of his like Peter Navarro and others. So what are the people doing? Are they trying to find solutions? Are they trying to, you're one of the lawyers working. Are there other lawyers that are filing stuff? Are people in the different areas in Brazil? Are the judiciaries in other areas speaking out? I mean, what's going on with that? We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Let's talk about a macro, what has been done in the macro. Those are macro actions that can actually help. Great. So this year is really important in Brazil because those are local elections. So the municipalities, municipalities elections, and Bolsonaro, along with Nicolas and other players in the politics, have been doing a wonderful job going to smaller cities to bring those leaderships on board because it starts in those small locations and then goes throughout the country. So this has been done, and that in regards to my colleagues, this, as I mentioned, this specific case, I'm counting with Sebastião and Ricardo. Kudos to them. We are working with our clients the best way as possible. I know also the other attorneys that have been working with other investigators other defendants regarding the January 8th. But to say that all my colleagues there in Brazil, they can speak freely, unfortunately, they cannot. There's still some prosecution that they would suffer should they went that route. And to picture, we have Ludmila Lins Grillo. If you don't know her, Ludmila is a former judge in Brazil. She's currently in the U.S.
Right, I've seen her speaking
out. Asylum.
Yeah.
In asylum, precisely because she started to denounce these actions back in 2019. And she's one of the ones that is in the list that was released yesterday about being censored.
Wow. So we, the people of the United States, I keep saying they're not after us, they're after the world. But destroying America is one of the key goals, I believe. They want no nation states. I mean, they put it in their own writing on all their own websites, from the World Economic Forum to the UN to the banking institutions that are running the world. They're all talking about that nation states are over and we're going into a global governance model, basically, whether we like it or not. But it's people like you and my audience and me and people like Glenn Greenwald and other that are saying, no, that's not up to a small handful of people. It's rather up to the people of the country. I really do hope the people of Brazil continue fighting. I know that they are under a lot of threat, and much more also because the balance of powers is completely gone. Here we still have a little bit, but I'll tell you, our judiciary, especially in the District of Columbia, is almost as bad as yours. We just don't have one man standing up. We have a whole bunch of judges that continue down the path. And like you said about that judge in Brazil, they seem to get a lot of joy out of persecuting people for a coup that didn't happen, when an actual coup did happen to both Bolsonaro and Donald Trump. And those people put themselves back in power, just like here. And a lot of it has to do with them protecting themselves. But you are still hopeful about the future for Brazil. So let's talk a little bit about that before we go. And then I want to know how people can help you and get in touch with you and support you and your clients.
Right. I mean, we really hope to get some international pressure on those cases so we can change the course of things. And for a message to my Americans, my dear Americans, let's stay watch, because as you mentioned, in the U.S., it's also concerning. Not sure if many of you have been following all Justice Jackson's remarks on the First Amendment.
Yeah,
essentially,
we have.
Concerned about them hamstringing the First Amendment, hamstringing the government, and that's how it started. Brazil did not become what we're seeing right now this year. It's something that was being created day by day until it got.
I thank you so much, because this is a big warning to the United States citizens and the people watching the show. Like she said, Brazil, this happened over time. People were sounding the alarm in Brazil way before 2016, but certainly 2016, 2017, 2018, and the rest of the world wasn't really listening. And then I think people were pretty shocked when they watched Lula come out of jail and suddenly become the in the media and certainly in your judiciary, the hero, and then Bolsonaro being demonized when he was out there cheering on freedom. And it was just so upside down. But now we're watching the same thing with Trump. The Trump trials are a warning to American citizens that if this continues down this path where the judicial system is weaponized against its political opponents and not based on a constitution and the rule of law, which has already happened in Brazil, we will end up there, too. I really appreciate your bravery and what you're doing and how much you are fighting and trying to get out there. I want people that are watching this that also have podcasts or voices to get in touch with Anna, because this story needs to get out there. This is a very, very almost similar exact situation. And if we follow the money, I believe, Anna, of who is funding what is happening to our nations, it all goes to the same place. I call them the Davos crew or the international banking cartel, but they have a vision for the future that the people of this planet do not want. And we got to keep fighting, because we can have a very small 0.001% of the planet of wealth consolidated, and those people deciding for our nation states. They want something like Hunger Games, where they're all living in Pan Am and we're in like wards or something. And you and I are not going to allow that to happen. So can you tell my audience how to follow you, how to find you, and also how to keep up on actual, or where they should look for real information about what is happening in Brazil?
Right. And by the way, I want to thank you very much for your remarks. I'm grateful for people like you. It's inspiring. Let's keep fighting. It's not going to be from one day to another, but I'm confident that if we keep going, we'll get where we want in the world we want to live in. So in regards to contact information, I'm on X. So you can find me at M.Shafford. Anna.Shafford, you're going to find me there. You can contact me there. There is a link tree with all my channels. Great. So you can find me there as well. It would be a pleasure to be speaking about it. And those who have been heard speak about Felipe Martins, help us get his case so he can be released and be back to his family soon.
Yes, I'm so sorry. And please, we'll be praying for him and for all the other people. People have to understand there are a lot of people in jail in Brazil right now, like they are in America, for standing up for freedom and truth and questioning authority. And that used to be part of our inalienable rights and our constitution, that was what our job was to keep authority or supposed authority in the hands of the people and not in the hands of a small group of people who are violating our rights. So thank you so much, Anna. We'll put all your links below. Please do get in touch with her if you are out there and can help spread the word. And I really want people to understand Brazil should be a warning to the people in the United States of America that if your judiciary continues down a path of basically a totalitarian extreme, we could end up in the same place. And we are on that trajectory. But you and I both believe that the people will be the ones to stop that. So get involved. Go follow Anna on X. Her link is below. And Anna, keep us up to date. Anything that happens, come on back.
Absolutely. No. Thank you again for the opportunity. And I do hope to bring some good updates soon. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, welcome you back anytime. Keep up the good fight. Thank you so much.
Do it. Bye-bye.
So we all agreed that we were going to get in shape for 2024. We were going to be healthy and we were going to get into our fitness routine and we were going to eat better. And guess what? It's easier said than done. Like we didn't know. But what's awesome is that I've teamed up with these awesome people over at Field of Greens. You know, when I get something new in the mail, I think, well, okay, I'm going to try it. And I was shocked. First and foremost, because it tastes awesome. Not only that, they have proprietary blends picked by doctors that actually target specific areas that you might have concerns about. So whether it's your lungs, your kidney, your heart, if it's metabolism, weight loss, energy, Field of Greens has a proprietary blend exactly for what you are looking for. Field of Greens has a promise They promise you your money back if you are not fully satisfied and feel that Field of Greens is improving your health and your wellness all around. Field of Greens is made in America, straight from Texas. They give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, and they are helping Mel Kay and the Mel Kay Show going forward on our journey to health and wellness, as well as yours. So go to fieldofgreens.com, use the code Mel Kay right now, and you'll get 15% off your first order and be well on your way to your journey and wellness. I am so grateful to my new sponsor, yeah, Field of Greens. Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, an emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company medical emergency kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.